The views expressed are not necessarily those of KSCJ and Powell Broadcasting Company. This program is not intended to replace the advice of doctors or other clinical providers. Consult with your practitioner to ensure the proper course of action for you.
Welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well on AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ. This program is dedicated to your mental health wellness and brought to you by Family Services. Here's your host, Art Silva.
Good morning, Siouxland, and welcome to this week's edition of When Things Aren't Going Well. This show is dedicated to your mental wellness and how you can help yourself navigate the daily highway of life. We hope to educate and motivate you to help improve your mental wellness environment. I'm Art Silva, and our show is brought to you by Family Service. Today's topic is a pretty serious one, and we're glad that you're with us because we're going to talk about Archie's story. We have a young man here today that's going to talk about suicide, and it's just absolutely fantastic. So joining me today is Amy Small, along with her son, Archie. And Archie, we're going to start right now. There's a little intro, so give me a little background on what you do, where you're at, what's going on in your life.
Obviously my name is Archie. I am a sophomore at Akron Westfield High School. I'm pretty involved with things. I do choir, band, I do sports like track and cross country. And yeah, I think
that's pretty busy schedule. What's your favorite subjects in school? What do you like to do? What do you enjoy?
I really like currently communications. It's a speech class. And also I like English. So those are probably my
English. Now you don't hear that too often. English and journalism. That's really cool. So maybe a future reporter, a news reporter or something like that. You could maybe right here at KSCJ going out there doing the reporting. Well, anyhow, I'm glad to have you here. And you got a story to tell. And we're going to hold that part of the story, your story off to the second half of the show. But prior to that, we want to just see, tell me about your life. You're a normal, average high school kid, just kind of going to school and that's it. And no real stress or anything in your life. Why do you want to talk about this story? Why do you want to tell people about this?
I really want to tell this story because I want this serious subject to become more of like a common thing. Easily more talked about because suicide, depression, all those things are really scary. And I believe if more people talk about it, especially people from a young age, then it's going to be an easier subject to talk about.
Well, Archie, how old are you?
I'm 16. Sorry.
16 years old. This takes a lot to come and do something like this. I hope you know that. Stepping up and just tell you my story and hope help somebody else out there. So I'm really, really, really impressed about this. Let me ask you another question, Archie, on your background and what you're doing. Your friends, do your friends have any, when you hang with that circle of friends, are they suffering? Would you say depression or are they sad or you guys talk about things like that?
We'll talk about that stuff all the time. Anytime I'm sad or my friends are sad, we're very open and we'll always talk to each other about it and help each other through it. I think we're all over like our really, really bad phases of like depression and stuff. But yeah, we're very open with each other.
I'm Art Silva, and you're listening to When Things Aren't Going Well, and my guest today is Amy Small and Archie Small, and we're talking about Archie's story, which deals with suicide, teenage suicide. Let me share with everybody, in the most recent studies that we had, there was an 11th grade survey done in Iowa schools. It was done with the understanding that the remarks would not be shared with parents. They'll do the aggregate. Here's a total of what the kids say, but we're not going to tell your parents. Out of that study, 11th grade students, one out of four had a suicide ideation. What's one out of four? If you take a look at four kids in the 11th grade, one of them has thought about suicide. And this is something that I think as a community, we need to be the eyes and the ears. And also, where can we go to offer help? This is no judgment on a person. They need that's not the answer. We need to find another answer. And I think that comes from your support group, your friends, your community. And what things can we do to avoid getting to that situation where you're depressed? So, Archie, let me ask you about your support network. Who's there to help you in tough times and guide you through some tough times?
I always have my mom, and I always have my family, like my grandpa, my grandma, my aunt, uncle, my cousins. And there's always my friends. I have a really good friend, Jeremiah. He helps me through like everything. We talk about everything with each other and we always help each other out. I have a friend named Dawson and Hunter. Those two really help me out too.
Well, you know, it's something, not everybody has that kind of support network. Do you kind of like in your school, look for kids that are alone, look for kids that maybe just off on their own, they eat lunch alone, they don't have a group of friends. They can't be the happiest person in the school. So do you try to reach out and help anybody else?
I do actually do that sometimes. In our school, though, everybody is really like inclusive. But anytime if I'm out somewhere at like a sports game or something, if I see somebody sitting by themselves, I'll usually go up and I'll talk to them and I'll try to like see what's going on, see if they're doing okay, and I'll just hang out with them.
Well, to look at you, you're going to say, there's a healthy, active young man, and who'd think he'd have any problems whatsoever? Good-looking guy, you got a great smile, you're easy to talk to, you got a great personality. So what's this story? You know, we're going to get to your story, I should say, but you know what? Did it come on suddenly? Had you been naturally moving from a depressive mood to an active mood? When did you know that you needed some help?
It kind of just, the time I needed help kind of just came on suddenly. At least I think so. I believe it came very suddenly. It came with a text message. So it was pretty sudden.
I guess so. So, listen, I know everybody wants to hear your story. We're going to deal with that in a little bit in the second half of our show. We do want to say, that you may want to, you know, if you have other kids in the house, you may want to use your judgment on this message. But we really want folks to hear this. This is a good story. This has a, I guess, what we call a happy ending. And that's why we want to come and share this with you. But it can be a little unnerving. But, folks, I want you to know, in this community, we have kids out there. We have children out there that need help. I know we have at Boys and at Family Services, we have the Big Brothers Big Sisters organization there. They're working with children. Kids will tell you, but they don't always tell you in the way that we expect them to tell us. So you got to have your antenna up. You got to be looking. You have to be looking for differences. What's this mood change? Is it temporary? Teachers are wonderful. Teachers are out there. They see things out there. They see a lot. And they probably notice a change in behavior in a child. And as a Archie just said, it came on suddenly. We've read stories about young people that have been bullied over the internet. And that has led to, in certain cases, suicide. You know, suicide is one of the toughest things to trace because you don't see it in the paper listed as a suicide. Sometimes there's nothing at all. They're just announcing the services. But I think, to me anyhow, this is only my opinion, when we lose somebody, when we lose a child in the community, we are lost. I mean, what did we miss along the way that we could have helped the child, could have helped the kids? It's a tough time anyhow in that adolescent stage to begin with. So when you compound that with other pressures or other things and you don't really know a way out because you don't have that support system, it doesn't lead to a good ending. Well, we got a good ending here today. I'm going to talk with Archie about his story right after our break. And I'll tell you, I'm just so glad you're here. We've been trying to do this for a while, and you're a very brave man to come on and do this. So, folks, if you're out there, we're going to take our break right now so we can get the Archie story. So we'll grab another cup of coffee, welcome in a brand new day, and we'll be right back with more When Things Aren't Going Well right here on 1360 AM, 90.9 FM, KSCJ.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well on KSCJ. Here's Art Silva.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well. I'm Art Silva, along with Archie Small and Amy Small, and we're talking about Archie's story. It's a young man's story about suicide. So with that, I'm not going to hold back any longer. Archie, you want to go through and tell us your story?
So about two summers ago now.
We're about a year and a half.
Yeah, about a year and a half ago, like two summers ago, I had thoughts of ending my life. And it came up progressively, I think. It started out the summer, ending the school year, so I wasn't seeing as much people. All my friends were going out and getting jobs, they were growing up, and I was kind of still just by myself, a lot. And my mom obviously had her work, and my cousins were doing a bunch of things, just going out, practicing sports at sports camps, and my grandparents, they were out doing stuff too. So I was kind of alone a lot of the time. And that really started to affect me a lot of the summer. It started really small, but then it just got more and more and more. And it's almost started eating away at me in a way. I didn't really know what to do because I haven't really experienced anything like this before. I haven't experienced this type of loneliness, this type of feeling. I didn't know what to do. And I didn't really know who to talk to. But I did have this one friend that I talked to, Quinn. I talked to her a good amount about it, and she helped me as much as she could. But, you know, she's a teenager like me, so it's kind of a lot of information to take in. But I finally told her that I had a plan to take my life. And the day before I was going to do it, her mom looked through her messages and saw that, and her mom made the brave decision of telling my mom that I was going to do that. And I remember because I was sitting downstairs, I was playing a game, my mom called me upstairs, and she was obviously a little bit distraught, and I just started crying, and I told her I was sorry, and I didn't really know what to do, but I really just didn't want to talk to people about it at first because I thought they'd almost treat me like I was broken. And I don't want to be broken. I don't want to be treated like I'm broken. So with some help from my mom and a lot of support from my family, my friends, my community, I finally got a therapist. His name is Daniel. Great guy. Love Daniel. He really helped me to get out of this sort of almost like pit of a mindset I was in. And over time, I've gotten better and I've been able to talk about it more and I've been able to hopefully help other people too.
Well, you know, listening to you, you described feeling, first of all, loneliness. That's an epidemic right now in this country. A lot of people, all ages, are lonely. And that's something I think we need to work on as a group. Ever since COVID, we really haven't gotten back together. And this loneliness group has just grown. So you described in your story the fact that you felt like you were in a pit. And, you know, looking up and, you know, getting that feeling where this is the only alternative I have. So describe that a little more if you can, that loneliness feeling, that feeling, where do I go? Who do I have any help from?
Well, I felt like the pit thing. I feel like nobody else was in that pit at that time. I hadn't really experienced anything with depression before, and I haven't really like heard anything about it, and especially I haven't really heard about suicide before that too. I mean, sure, some people brought it up sometimes and said it was bad a couple of times, but I didn't really know, and I felt like I was in that pit alone, so I didn't really know who to talk to about it. I didn't know who would be able to help me, who would be able to relate to me. And obviously, like I said earlier, I didn't want them to think I was broken when I talked to them about it. So I kind of just, by doing all those things, I kind of dug myself almost deeper in a way. At least I think so. Until I finally got the help I needed.
Well, I'll tell you, you're one brave guy. This is not usually ending. And what we've seen also with the in suicides over the past few years, the copycat suicide where a friend goes and then another friend does the same thing. So in your group itself, is it something that you kids, that you guys, ladies and gentlemen, talk about? You know, what do you do when you're feeling sad? What is the school doing? Are they doing anything to try to let people know that you aren't broken? This is not you. This is something that we can treat, and it's temporary. So can you talk about that and what your school environment is like, you know, with kids? Can you sit down with a circle of friends if anybody said, hey, I'm thinking about taking my life or I'm thinking about harming myself? And then you can jump in and maybe intercede?
This has actually happened before. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to, like, it's not really my story to put out there for them. But I've had people come to me and say that they were going to take their life before. And they said that I've helped them. And I helped them get the professional help that they needed. I convinced them to tell their parents. I believe that everybody at my school is pretty open about this. We live in an environment which is kind of rare, where I didn't realize nobody's going to treat you like you're broken. It's almost like I was lucky. I don't know how to describe it. I'm sorry.
But you know what, you say broken, and you lose that, you use that term, and broken is a, it's pretty strong, you know, broken. How do I put this back together? You know, and you went that route as opposed to staying broken. You fixed yourself. So I know it wasn't super glue and anything like that, but you know, you really did something in your mind and in your heart that kind of came back into play. Quinn's mom was sometimes angels come along and they just do little things, but they turn into big results. And I think Quinn's mom interceding with the text to your mom, that's, a lot of kids don't have that friendship and support. And there's a great example of how that network came together and helped you. So, you know, that's just a great deal. Let's get back and talk with your mom a little bit about going through this and the support and how it affected you. Amy?
It was scary, you know? First of all, I am so proud that he is willing to talk and share his story with others and be so open and vulnerable about a really hard time in his life. You know, when it was happening at the moment, as a mom, I felt like I failed because I didn't know. It was happening in my house and I didn't know. And we spent quite a bit of time together. And, you know, I think one of the things for parents is that sometimes there isn't a big behavior change. Sometimes the grades don't drop. Sometimes kids just internalize it. I think the big thing for us as a family is we had to learn how Archie wanted to be supported. It's easy to go into that scary mode, let's use kid gloves and things like that with him, and he didn't want that. And that was one of the reasons why he was scared to talk about it, is he didn't want us to treat him differently. And so as a parent, that was a really hard spot to be, to treat him the same, knowing that he's having these really big struggles and that I wasn't the right person to help him get through it. He needed his friends more than he needed me at that moment. He needed Daniel more than me at that moment. And as an involved parent, that's really hard to take a step back and say, okay, someone else gets to know more about my kid at this time, and they get to be that angel or that hero helping him get out of that pit, as he called it. So we were really, really fortunate. Akron Westfield has been a great supportive school for him. They really, as a community, they wrapped their arms around him. And I know that not every kid has that support from a community in a school. I know not every school is like that.
But they've really been supportive. He's had several of his friends come to different things that he spoke at. You know, he's done a couple fundraising events, and kids have shown up just to show their support and love for him. So I know that we're kind of the exception. You know, you hear a lot of kids that don't get that support, and I think that's one of the reasons why Archery has said that he wants to continue to talk about it. He wants more kids that are struggling to have that real positive wraparound hug from their community and their support system.
Well, I think he's a very brave young man for doing this, and above his age, to step up and take this responsibility. Here's what I did, and now that I know this, I have to do something about it, and he did. So, you know, Arch, I got to tell you, your story is just a fantastic story of success. But we also hear here the ripple effect in the family. Other people that are affected by not only the suicide ideation, but the actual suicide, what the pain it causes. And everybody says, how did I miss that? So, you know, Mom, you're right. Sometimes the signals just aren't there. The signs just aren't there with the behavior change. So I think it's really good that you have a network, a family. Archie, you have someone that you can talk to and know that you have that now. So going forward, how are you feeling?
I am feeling better than I think I ever have, especially since, like my mom touched on and I touched on, such a supportive community and supportive family and supportive friends. And everybody has literally and figuratively wrapped their arms around me and helped me. And I don't think I could be in a better place.
Well, this is truly a success story. Amy, anything you want to close with?
The one thing I just want to add to end here is that it's not a linear journey. There's still bad days. There's still bad weeks. There's still bad months. Him and I are still learning to communicate with each other, and some days we do much better than others. And I think that while he is doing so great and wonderful, I think it's important to remember there's not every day looks like that, and that's okay. It's a continual journey, and you know, he is making the choice to use the things that he's learning in therapy. He could choose to just go there and sit, or he can choose to take the things that he's learning and implementing him, those things. I can't make him do that. His therapist can't make him do that. He is making that choice. And so I'm just so proud of him.
Well, you should be, Mom, because he's making a lot of good choices. So this has been a great story. This is, folks, if you're listening in, would you share this with people? You know, Archie's 16 years old. He had a dark spot in his life where he thought about ending his life. It came through a support group and friends, and his mom didn't even know, and she was right there. So it's hideous. It hides itself very, very well. But, folks, talking to kids, listening to kids, being involved in younger people's lives, so at least they know you can be a safety net. At least they know they got someone they can come to in a quote-unquote broken mode and get back on again. So, Archie, I think you just did a great story with sharing this with a listening audience, and thank you very much. We're coming up on the end of our show, and every week we try to end our show with a little joke for you. So here's a joke for the week. These two sisters, they wanted to buy a bull. One was a little more business savvy than the other one, so she went out there and bought the bull. They had $600 budget. They found the bull for $599. And so she had a dollar left over. She said, I'll take the bull. So she goes to the telegraph office and said, I'm going to telegraph my sister to come over here and pick this bull up. And so he says, well, that's 99 cents a word. She only had a dollar left. She could do one word. So she thought about it, and said, okay, wire her comfortable. And the guy said, comfortable? That's going to help you get the bill? He says, yeah, my sister reads real slow, and she's going to go, come for the bull. And so she'll get it. So listen, that's your joke for the week. I want to thank Archie and Amy and thank our listening audience. It's absolutely it's a great time of year for all of us to go out and enjoy and spread the love, and just appreciate you being with here. Stuff is open, the Stuff Thriftique, and we got great Christmas sales going on right now, so get over there. So we'll be back next Saturday morning right here when things aren't going well on 1360 AM, 94.9 FM, KSCJ. Your homework for the week, go out and have a good laugh. May the sun shine on you.
For more information on the services provided by Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, see them online at boysandgirlshomeiowa.org, or you can call 712-293-4700. To get more information about family services, residential treatment, the Opportunity School, the Siouxland Family Center, and more. At Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, we change lives.